Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's another Wednesday night live in the Sheffield Live studios for Deserted Island Disc. So Deserted Island Disc is the show where we get people who were born in the island of Ireland and now live in South Yorkshire. And we've had lots of guests over the last year. And I'm delighted to say I've got a guest tonight. It's Decky Doherty. Hi, Decky. How are you doing?
Hey, Ben. Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
It's great to have you here. So I've known Decky for some time. I've seen you about, but we've never really like kind of had a proper chat, haven't we? So this is the chance for us to have an hour of hearing about your life and the music you've chosen. So what Absolutely. We've got is some songs that mean a lot to you. That take us through your life, yeah. So, how are you feeling about the night?
Yeah, great. I'm excited, Ben, to be honest, yeah.
Because we've had a few of your mates and people close to you
on the show. Yeah, I was never going to be asked, so...
I had to spread you out a bit, didn't I? Couldn't have had all you... Because you're part of the Gaelic football team, aren't you? Which we'll come on to a bit. And I think we could just couldn't have Gaelic footballer after Gaelic football after Gaelic footballer.
Yeah, get a bit
boring, isn't it? So we've saved you for the for the lovely. Yeah, so it's great to have you on board. So just, let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your life from the early days, Dick.
Yeah, so I'm from a place called Port Dunnoan, which is just on the border between County Antrim and County Derry. It's most famous probably for having the River Ban that runs through it. It's got a Ban Bridge.
The Ban, yeah.
The banks of the Ban. So yeah, it's just once you cross the Ban, you're in the Derry. But I'm very much on the County Antrim side.
Okay.
So yeah, unfortunately, you know, not that great at football, to be honest. But I'm a true saffron, really. I'm not going to be turned.
So your dad was Derry though, is he?
Yeah, my dad's from Blahy, which is, you know, probably once you cross the bridge, another 10 minutes up the road. Yeah, he tried to influence me from a young age, as did my granda. You know, I think there's a lovely video of me playing, about 4 years old, playing Gaelic football. Yeah. I'm wearing a Wolf Tones Balahi kit, which is all blue. But no, I quickly caught myself on and got a Roger Casement Sporting Own kit on.
Yeah. So is that because your mum's answering through and through, yeah?
Yeah. So we lived at my mum's home house. So she was the youngest, so she got left the house.
Okay.
And I grew up there. I had lovely times. Actually, about 4 miles outside of Port Dunnoan, probably closer to Culibacky, in a townland called Lisnahunshan.
Okay.
So
small place. Then.
Small place, yeah, very rural place. But I had lovely memories. My cousins lived, you know, the McKenna's lived 100 yards away, and the O'Neills lived 100 yards away. So now we had great days there.
Yeah, it's a big family thing. I don't know. That's quite common, I suppose, for Ireland, isn't it? And I suppose rural Ireland, isn't it? Basically, your grandparents would have grown up in the house you grew up in, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
They were in the house.
Yeah, my granny still lived in the house with us. So it was actually her house, but then, you know, had passed it on to my mum. Yeah. But we had land around, or my granda had land in that area, and then passed the land on, and they built on it.
So your cousins would, your aunties and uncles built on the land.
On the land, they were given, So
your mum was the youngest then, and that's why she got it, because she was just last one in the house.
Yeah, exactly, that's the way.
Stuck it out, yeah.
Quite a feudal system, probably. But, I have great memories playing football along with my cousins up there, and, you know, I think Helen and Sarah were talking about Wimbledon before. Like, that was what we did every summer, just set up a big ladder across the wall and just played Wimbledon all summer,
just played tennis
all summer.
It sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah. But so you're 32 years old?
Yes.
You were born in 1993?
93, yeah.
And I suppose what time's like then, really? So it was kind of, in terms of like the Good Friday Agreement and stuff, like, as a kid, did you not really...
Yeah, the Good Friday Agreement was 98.
Yeah.
So I don't really have any memories of any troubles, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
probably my earliest memory was something like the Oma bomb or something like that happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be honest with you, Ben, like my mother and father might have, you know, grown through that, but yeah. I cannot say that I had any trouble that way, really.
But I suppose what you, the town you lived in, though, you were saying that you got to primary school there?
Yeah, I went to primary school in Port Lanoan, St Mary's, Port Lanoan.
So now, so is that a few miles away, is it?
Yeah, about 4 miles, 4 miles down the road. Yeah. So my dad would took us down to school.
And that's the Catholic school, obviously, yeah?
Yeah,
and
that was Catholic school, and then the Protestant school was Port Lanoan Primary School.
So there'd be a Protestant and a Catholic school in that town?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't really mix much?
No, I remember the first time I went over there, I think we were primary 7, which would make you 11 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have done, like, you know, sort of cross-community stuff, you know, just chatting to them and doing different activities and whatever. But,
yeah,
you know, that was my
and
first
that's
time.
Part of the climate of post...
yeah, of integration, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know,
and you're trying to do stuff.
They're
yeah.
much further down the line with that stuff now, but I suppose that was,
yeah.
you know, the early stuff. The
first ones to do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, yeah so...
And that would have stood you in good stead, I suppose, because as you get older, there was, you'd have more of that integration. And
absolutely, yeah. And, you know, my dad was a good rugby player, and he played rugby through his grammar school he went to in Magherafelt. And, you know, that was, he got me into rugby because he recognised that was a really good way of mixing with other people and
yeah.
stuff like that, and also a good game.
That's it. So rugby's kind of the cross-community game.
Absolutely, yeah.
As soccer, maybe. But, yeah, certainly kind of rugby was a way of you... meeting those communities and
yeah. meeting other people.
Yeah. And part of the show, everyone, is that we play music. So we've been chatting away, and I think often chat away, and we sometimes forget about the music. But your first choice, I suppose, is one of those early memories, isn't it, of kind of that time. And just tell us why you picked it and what it is.
Yeah, so Meatloaf, and there'll be certain artists that were big in our house, Meatloaf being one of them, others being AC/DC, Iron Maiden. So you can see the sort of ilk where we're coming from. Yeah. But, yeah, I suppose one of my earliest memories was going over to Balahi Quizzes. It used to be on a Sunday night. So my dad and my granddad were still heavily involved in Balahi Club. And they would quiz every Sunday night. And, you know, me and my sister would have went. And it sort of felt like you were getting out of the house on a Sunday night. You know, getting Sunday blues
exciting.
Before school.
Yeah.
And our thing used to be always just, Mommy, play Meatloaf. You know, we had the... like a tape cassette of Bad Out of Hell album.
Okay.
So Meatloaf was our, that was on constantly. So
Meatloaf, Bad Out of Hell, it's 9:50, the version I've got. So sorry for any Meatloaf fans, we're not going to play all of it, but we'll get a good crack at Meatloaf, Bad Out of Hell.
So bright, There's evil in the air, and there's thunder in the sky, and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon, oh, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was starting to foam in the heat. Oh, baby, you're the only thing in this whole world that's good and good and right. And wherever you are and wherever you go, there's always gonna be some light. But I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now before the final crack of dawn. So we gotta make the most of our one night together. When it's over, you know we'll both be so alone.
Sorry, we're not playing 9 minutes 50 of Bar of Hell. Decky, you'll be all right, won't you?
Yeah,
that's it. You've heard it. Yeah. It was. I was never a Meatloaf fan until we used to start going to the pub and it had a jukebox. And it was you had to pay £1 and you got free songs. So we quickly learned, let's put on the longest songs possible. And Meatloaf was one of the choices to put it on. And it grows in you, doesn't it?
Yeah,
after a bit. No, it's a cracking song. Thank you, thank you. So that was your dad's kind of music, was it? But that's obviously rubbed off on you.
Yeah, absolutely, as it does. Well, if that's all you get listening to, then it's going to have an effect, isn't it?
Yeah. No, good stuff. So we're talking to Decky, who is grew up in County Antrim. And we're talking through his life story, and really we just kind of got to primary school. But then you go to secondary school, and presumably wasn't a secondary school in your little village.
No. So depending on how you did in the 11 plus, I sort of decided where you went to. So did all right, and I went to St. Louis in Ballymena. So yeah, it was probably 25 minutes away. We ended up getting the bus from the end of the lane, which was pretty handy, to be fair. Picked us up at 8 o'clock and left us back, 4 o'clock? Something like that, you know, so... It was.
It's what you know and it's what you used to, yeah.
Yeah, really good memories in St. Louis. Great school. Really big on academia and stuff, and I quite liked school that way. Also, like sport, obviously, as well. But, you know, they pushed you on whenever you need it pushed on, you know. So.
Yeah, well, it served you well. I mean, we like to go through in that kind of order of your life, but I think it's worth saying that you've done really well and you're a surgeon now, aren't you?
So, yeah.
Is it? How do you say it?
Podiatric surgeon. A surgeon that operates on the foot and ankle.
Yeah. So we'll come on to that and see how you got there. Sure. But just, I think it's useful to kind of see kind of how your life has got to that point, really, saying that those things that are kind of, you know, choices that are made and choices made for you have kind of led to where you are now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, I did okay in my GCSEs and got on the A-levels. And again, did okay. I could have done a little better in the A-levels, but... I sort of had it in my head that I wanted to get into some sort of medical profession. Yeah. And they were just pushing everybody to be a doctor. And, you know,
okay.
At careers, that's what I thought anyway. And I wasn't sure if I was going to hit the
really... Can't be everyone to push it through.
No, but not everybody, but I mean...
Anybody's doing well. So what you did, were you doing like science A-levels and stuff?
Yeah,
like?
I did biology, maths and PE at A-level, yeah. And I did a history AS level.
Yeah.
So, they were like, oh, would you consider it? And I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to hit the grades. And the last thing I wanted to do was miss out and go into uni. I didn't want to take a gap year,
yeah,
things like that. So, but... I always had an interest in sports and that sort of thing. And I remember having shin splints when I was about 16, 17. Okay. Really bad shin splints. I know what they were caused by now, but at the time, obviously, I hadn't a clue. So I went up to a podiatrist and, you know, he had all the fancy stuff and sort of went through all that. And I was quite impressed and I thought, well, that seems like a good career. I might not go down that route. So,
yeah
that sort of won me over for going to podiatry. And I applied for podiatry at... I'll say Ulster University now. It's in Jordanstown, just outside Belfast.
So he's lucky you got the shin splints then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm going then. What causes shin splints then?
Yeah, well, really tight calves and flat feet. So recommended some calf stretches and gave me some insoles.
Okay.
So
and you're all right?
That was all right.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So
so you got the grades and you applied to which uni you go to?
University of Ulster, right. Jordanstown, which... they're closing much of it down now, moving everybody into Belfast, into a new campus, but, you know, it was a pretty big place at the time.
So is it a campus university, really?
Yeah.
Is it like middle of nowhere again, or kind of...
No, so everybody that went to Jordanstown lived in Belfast,
okay.
And then you probably got like a 20-minute, you could get a bus out,
yeah,
but it was about 20 minutes outside Belfast,
right.
Sort of towards Carrickfergus.
Yeah.
Direction, so, yeah.
So was that... A bit of a shock moving to Belfast, or was it?
No, absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Straight away, loved it. But sort of live with lads I knew from school. My best mate Spot as well. He lived with me, so we all had a house in Spot. In Belfast. So it was 18 Rugby Avenue. You know, looking back now, you know, I wouldn't wish anybody to live in a house like that. You know, we had no heating.
Yeah.
You know, we had a big oil tank at the back, and you know, I think one time we tried a 20 liter. Emergency oil drum, but no, that wasn't enough to get it going.
Okay.
So we had absolutely no heating all year. All we had was the halogen heaters.
Yeah.
You know, that turn around and that was about it.
Makes you stronger. Experience.
Yeah, does. But no, I loved the Holy Lands. Gets a bad rep, the Holy Lands in Belfast, just because you get some students who, you know, go mad and wreck the place. But no, I think we were quite civil, and it was just good to get away from home and experience. Yeah. You know, being in university and being a student.
But also not too far away from home, I suppose.
No, exactly. I got home on a Friday with just a big bag of washing for my mother. that was all right too.
Yeah, damn day good.
Yeah.
So your next song's from that area, yeah?
Yeah, so Rihanna played, was very big, sort of, you know, from that time. And she had a couple of big songs. So any sort of Rihanna tune will always remind me of university and sort of, and that sort of era.
Yeah.
So, really like Rihanna.
And this one's got Paul McCartney on.
Yeah, Kanye West and Paul McCartney.
So there you go, right. So it's 4 or 5 seconds.
I think I've had enough. I might get a little drunk. I say what's on my mind. I might do a little time. 'Cause all of my kindness taken for weakness. Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm just trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would tell me, ooh, that's all I want.
Woke up an optimist. Sun was shining, I'm positive.
We can run
the bus. Then I heard you was talking trash.
I fought a mystery.
Hold me back, I'm about to spaz.
Yeah, I'm about 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would drive. That's all I want. And I know that you're up tonight, thinking how could I be so selfish. But you called about 1,000 times. how could I be so reckless? But I just can't apologize. I hope you can understand.
If I go to jail tonight, promise you'll pay my bail. See, they wanna buy my pride, but that just ain't up for sale. See, all of my kindness, it's taken for weakness. Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would tell it. Ooh, that's all I want. 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. Just trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would tell it. That's all I want.
Hey, that's Rihanna, and 4 or 5 seconds, thanks. That's the choice of Decky, who's my guest tonight on Deserted Islanders. It's the show where people born in Ireland who now live in South Yorkshire tell us about their life and pick us some songs, and we have a lovely hour of chat, and it's been lovely so far. And we're talking about Decky's life, and we've got to uni. So you're at uni days in Belfast. So what was Belfast like then? Did you go out in Belfast town, or did you kind of stick in the student areas?
Yeah, mostly stayed in the student areas. So there was plenty of bars in around, like, sort of Botanic Avenue and around there. So, you know, you could have had a night out. There was a Monday night out, Tuesday night out, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And then,
it's like Sheffield, you know, only, university, isn't it? They cater for the students.
And, you know, me and Spud and another fellow, we worked bagging wood shavings on a Saturday at a local sawdust merchant.
Okay.
So, you know, he would have given us money and we'd have thought, look, we're going to save this to Monday, but you'd end up going out Saturday night as well.
Yeah.
So that'd be all gone.
So good times then, But also, you obviously must have knuckled down and did your studies.
Yeah, so I qualified as a podiatrist in 2014. I remember one of my lecturers that year, Tim Kilmartin, his name is, he was a very prominent podiatric surgeon, and he had said to me, would you consider doing that as a career? And I thought about it and just thought, look, I'll work for a while and see how that goes. So I started my own little private place. My dad I rented a room off him in his accountant's office. And I also worked for a woman in Ballymena. So
to start with, you're doing like the podiatry, like you're doing like the shin splints and anyone with kind of foot problems.
Yeah, any foot problems, yeah. So a general podiatrist would just deal with anybody with any foot problem.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't be able to do any invasive surgery apart from nail, like ingrown toenails, things like that.
Yeah.
I was doing all that stuff, which I enjoyed, but you know, it was hard work sometimes.
See some bad feet?
Yeah, you do, but you get used to it. But then once I got to about 2016, I thought to myself, look, I want to do something a bit further. Still want to stay in the field, but I want to go on a bit further.
Yeah.
So, I spoke to Tim and his wife, Claire, who's also a podiatric surgeon, and they're really good mentors to me, even now.
Yeah.
And they recommended getting into it. So basically what I did was applied for a master's in Huddersfield in the theory of podiatric surgery, which you had to do before getting into any sort of training post.
Yeah.
So it was 3 years part-time. So you basically had to fly into Huddersfield for a week teaching block at a time.
All right.
They probably had about 4 or 5 teaching blocks a year. And I did that alongside just working as a normal podiatrist.
Okay, so you did it like kind of,
part-time distance learning, if you like. But you did have to go over to Huddersfield for a short period as well.
But again, you kind of showed that determination, I suppose, and commitment. Yeah. So you're quite driven, really, to kind of know you wanted more. Yeah,
so, you know, on that course there was maybe 30 people, and I thought, well, there isn't that many training posts available to train us all, so you have to sort of step out from the crowd and try and do something different. And ended up setting up an honorary contract with Tim Kilmartin, who worked in Ilkeston at the time, which is in Derbyshire.
Okay.
Sort of between Derby and Nottingham. And he set that up for me one day a week, voluntary. So
is this guy you knew from Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
So he Obviously, he was doing the Ilkeston and stuff as well, yeah?
Yeah, so he worked in Ilkeston 3 days a week and then flew home
on
a Wednesday. So he basically recommended that I fly over, do one day of work there and then fly back. So I ended up Monday night going up to Belfast City, flying Flybe to East Midlands.
Yeah.
And that was for a period of 6 months. Ended up staying in it was called the Durham Ox. I remember, it was quite a nice B&B.
Yeah.
And I got just a taxi from the airport and back, so it cost me a bit of money at the time.
He was doing it, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, you know, if I hadn't have done that, you know, I don't know where I'd be.
Kind of things were you doing on that placement?
Yeah, so you're just going in shadowing them doing surgery and sort of learning, you know, how to do local anaesthetic blocks and cannulation, things like that, sort of learning the trade.
Yeah.
But, you know, you work your way up and sort of they let you do more and more as you come over. Yeah. Obviously wasn't doing surgery at that point, but it was sort of helping out getting patients ready for surgery.
Yeah.
And then ended up getting a job in Ilkeston 2 days a week.
But that's because you that commitment you'd shown. Because basically you're working for nothing for 6 months and spending lots of money on transport and hotels and taxis and everything. I mean, that's huge commitment. But anyway, it paid off and they gave you paid work, yeah.
2 days a week. And then I was still working as a podiatrist in the north as well. So still flying over and back. Sort of getting used to it. But I suppose I felt neither here nor there, you know, at that time. And that was sort of playing on my mind. I wasn't really playing much football anymore at home. You know, that was sort of annoying me. But, you know, the career took priority at that time. And that's the way it was.
We better do another song, I think, haven't we? Because we're nearly halfway through the show. So your next song choice from Claire to Hear, Ralph McTell.
Yeah, it sort of sums up that time for me, really. Like, not as if, you know, I had a bad time, but as I say, I was half in England, half in Ireland, but definitely still very much in Ireland, and that song will sort of...
So it was a long way from Antrim to Hear.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
exactly.
Well, we've got a version where Ralph tells a nice little story about kind of him writing the song. So it's funny, I've known the song for years, but I never knew Ralph McTell wrote it, and he explains a bit about it. So this is From Claire to Hear by Ralph McTell.
Let's have another little moment of reflection here. This is a song which I wrote when I was thinking back in the mid-70s to a time in 1963 when I was working on a building site in South London. And it was quite a heavy job. It was mostly manual work, digging with a spade and a shovel and a fork, and it was heavy work. But it was relieved because there was an Irish gang on the site, and the crack, as they call it, not crack as in drugs, the Irish word for crack means the good time. There was a good vibe going there. And I was working with a young Irish man called Michael, as so many of them are, and I just making conversation one day about 4 or 5 meters down in the ground, and I said to him, "It must be very strange, Michael, to be here in London after the place you come from." And he answered by saying, "Yes, it's a long way from Clare to here." Clare is a county on the west coast of Ireland, and we would have said normally it's a long way from here to Clare, but that's where his heart was, I thought, and the way he constructed that answer was to form the basis of this song. It's called From Clare to Here. There's four who share this room, and we work hard for the crack. We're sleeping late on Sundays while I never get to Mass. It's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets farther day by day. It's a long, long way from Clare to here. When Friday comes around, well, terror's only into fighting. Me ma would like a letter home, but I'm too tired for writing. Oh, it's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. Oh, it's a long, long way from Clare to here. And it almost breaks my heart when I think about Josephine. I told her I'd be coming home when my pocket's full of green. Oh, it's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. It's a long, long way from Clare to here. The only time I feel alright is when I'm in a drinking. It sort of eases the pain of it, and it levels out my thinking. Oh, it's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. It's a long, long way from Clare to here. Sometimes hear a fiddle play, or maybe it's a notion. I dream I see white horses dance upon that other ocean. It's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. Oh, it's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. Oh, it's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here.
Lovely, lovely, Ralph. Yes, I never knew he wrote that one. So, yes, we're back here with Decky. Yeah, so, I suppose the song itself kind of, like, says it's a bit how you're feeling at the time. It's kind of, you knew foreign land, didn't know many people. Yeah, is that fair to say that?
Yeah, kind of... absolutely. I know then around that time I ended up getting a job for the next 3 days at Buxton.
Okay.
In Derbyshire. So it was part of the same trust, so... That gave me 5 days of work in England, so then I had to move over completely. So I moved over in November 2018, so I drove down from Larne, it was a long old drive, from Larne to Stranraer, and then got a five and a half hour drive down to Chesterfield. So me and a mate lived in Chesterfield for about 8-9 months. Then he ended up getting a job in London, and I decided to move to Sheffield after that.
Yeah, good one, you might as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose there's more that community in there. I suppose, were you coming to Sheffield when you were living in Chesterfield and stuff?
Yeah, I remember once we came to Chesterfield, me and Con, who's the guy I was living with, Con Rooney, and we went to Molly Malone's.
So you came to Sheffield, Molly Malone's?
Yeah, went to Molly Malone's, obviously not, like, just because it was an Irish bar. And I remember Olivia Glacken being there.
Okay.
I obviously didn't know her at the time.
Yeah, so she stood out.
Yeah, I got chatting to her, and she must have heard my accent, and got chatting to her, and she said, oh, and she's like, where are you from? And I was like, Portland. And she's like, oh, I've got cousins in Portland. And I was like, do you? And then ended up, you know, obviously Dermot's from Blahy.
Yeah.
So then she took us down to the Grapes, and we...
Good old
Olivia. Yeah, so we got to meet everybody, so Yeah, then I knew it was in a decent place. Like,
it is, isn't it? Very welcoming.
Very welcoming, and, yeah.
And you suppose you find home from home now, right? And you met lots of people there that it remains your friends. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's a great spot to be in. And that's, I suppose that's why you get involved in the football team as well.
Yeah, so heard about the football club in Sheffield, St Vincent. So I text Niall Murphy, who said, you know, come down to train. That was the best thing I ever did, just getting involved with playing football again, because I hadn't played it maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and realised how much I missed it, you know, that sort of way. And yeah, really, really, really enjoyed it, and got a really good group of friends from it as initially. So
Danny's one of those, isn't he? So how did you meet Danny, or did you know him before?
Yeah, so Danny sort of joined the same time as me,
right?
And that sort of September. So I remember one of the lads had arranged going out to watch Ireland playing some, you know, World Cup qualifier or some European qualifier, and sort of met him out then, and then we sort of struck up a bit of a friendship.
So Danny was one of our previous guests.
Yeah,
a great lad, and he was good. But so you shared a house with him for a bit.
Yeah, then? So he was living in a uni sort of flats because he was doing a PGCE, and I had a sort of shared accommodation. So whenever his sort of uni stuff ran out, then we got a house that actually two other previous lads were living in that we knew.
Yeah.
So, in Beaches Bank, just off Norfolk Park. So,
okay. Legendary place. I've heard. A few previous guests have mentioned that place.
Yeah.
Good times had by all.
Yeah.
But I suppose, just going back to your job a bit, was so that you were, because you still weren't qualified to be a surgeon at that point.
So
the jobs were kind of, You're a podiatrist in terms of qualified that, so, but you weren't a surgeon, so you were kind of helping the surgeons,
I was sort of doing all the local anaesthetics, and I was assisting in surgery and stuff, but I wasn't actually doing any surgery. So I started my actual training post in October 2019, so that's when you're with the consultant, and he sort of takes you through different procedures, you know, step by step, and... So that was a 3-year post I got at that point. So that's whenever I started.
So that's a training post with the hospital?
So they
kind of trained you up. Yeah,
exactly. So we're still doing all the theory stuff, but that was the start of the practical stuff, you know. So, that was with Frank Webb at Buxton Hospital. So that's who I'm still with.
So you're bit by bit, you do more and more. And now you're a proper one.
Yeah, so you do exams while you're doing it. You do a theory exam, and then you do a practical exam, where consultants come and watch you operate, and then if you pass all those and all the other coursework, then you can call yourself a podiatric surgeon. So I qualified in 2023
We'll chat a bit more about that. I'm really interested in that kind of work and what is involved, but we better try and get some more music in. So you've done Highway to Hell.
AC/DC. As I said at the start, AC/DC were one of the bands that played a big part in my life growing up, so all my family's big AC/DC fans. So We went to see them in 2024 in Vienna.
All right.
So me, my mum, Sarah, and my uncle Dominic went over to see them. So it was a great time.
Okay, play that for all of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leave it.
AC/DC, rocking away there, head banging in the studio. Not quite. No, yeah. So that's Decky's choice. Yes, thanks. So that's your family, and you mentioned Sarah. You went to Vienna to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Sarah then?
Sarah's my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you know her quite well, Ben. I think she's been on the program before.
She has been on the show, yes.
Yeah. But she did tell a version of the story about how we met, so I'd probably like to set the record straight on that one.
Okay.
So, I met her when I was asked to referee to help out Sheffield. They were doing a ladies' blitz. Okay. And Hugh and Edge from Leeds, like, she was playing for them. And they're a quite good team, really. You know, I was refereeing them, and they're a bit mouthy. Sarah was a bit... mouthy, but you get like that playing football sometimes. But I was giving a bit back, and anyway, they won, and I was up at my car just getting the boots changed and getting back into the car, and one of her friends drove up.
Yeah.
And Sarah was in the back. I didn't know who was in the back, but one of her friends shouting, "My friend thinks you should be in Love Island." Yeah. So I was like, "What?" And then they just drove off, and I was like,
"Is that a compliment?"
I think it was meant to be. I remember speaking to Aoife Devine and asking, like, who was Sarah? Like, who is she? Because I knew Aoife sort of was friendly with her and seen her chatting to her at the pitch that day. So then I text her a messenger, and we met up in Leeds.
Yeah,
I suppose the rest is history from there, really.
Yeah, well, that sounds a perfectly lovely story.
Yeah.
And great, isn't it? So you had a date in Leeds, was it, the first one?
Yeah, we had a date in Leeds. She lived up in Leeds at that time. With a few of her friends, so stayed over, and then we went to watch Tyrone Mayo the next day.
Let's not mention that.
2021, all there in the final, so yeah.
Yes, I'm a Mayo fan. It was a bad day for us, yes.
Yeah, so.
So you watched that in Leeds. So that was one of your first dates, was it, watching Tyrone? And I bet she was very gracious in the Tyrone.
Yeah, so Sarah's a big Tyrone woman, got a strong family history of Tyrone footballers, so no, it was a great day for her. Like, I support the Ulster team when they're playing on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all right.
Yeah, so she continued to live up in Leeds for a while. We moved down to a house in Sheffield in 2023.
So she moved to Sheffield, didn't she?
Yeah.
Well, she got a job in Sheffield. She's a teacher, isn't she, in Hillsborough? Yeah.
Yeah.
She got a job in Sheffield, and you've been together, mm-hmm. Living together for a couple of years now, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So I've got it, great. And we see you both out and about in the grapes and both playing football and pretty successfully. So
talk
a bit about St. Vincent's and what that is. So for people who don't know, just give us a bit of background about what it is, St. Vincent's.
Yeah, St. Vincent's Gaelic Football Club started in 2017. It's just a Gaelic football club for men's and ladies. We play in the Yorkshire League, so we sort of train one night a week. Anybody's welcome, really. But games are normally played in the summer months, so probably April to September, October.
Yeah. Where do you play it at? Home grounds?
Home ground is Warminster Road,
Norton
Sports Park, and then we play a lot of games up in Leeds as well. So against the other teams, they're away games.
Yeah, so they're the Yorkshire teams that you tend to play against.
Teams.
Yeah, so you're the only Sheffield team, aren't you? But is it about five teams in Leeds?
There's three teams in Leeds.
Right.
One in Huddersfield, one in Newcastle upon Tyne. And then there used to be one in York, but they folded a couple of years ago. But we've been quite successful over the last number of years. So we won the Yorkshire Senior Championship 2021.
Yeah.
We've been trying to repeat that feat every year, which we haven't quite done, but we've won multiple league titles. We won, up until last year, we'd won three league titles in a row. So, we're quite successful, quite a good side.
Very good. And you enjoy yourselves, don't you? So, I think most Sundays, certainly in the summer months, you'll find a good group of Gaelic football players enjoying themselves.
Absolutely. So, we'd go into the grapes after the game. So, Anne's very good to us, so we thought we'd give something back, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you do as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try and get to... We've got two song choices. We might squeeze them both in a bit. I think we will. So your next one is Keep On Loving You. Is this why you picked this one?
Yeah, so it's a sort of a bit of an anthem for me and Sarah. And I know Danny Nolan loves this song as well. So it's a bit of a cult anthem for us.
Okay, let's play that one. Keep On Loving You.
Should have seen my by the look in my eyes, baby, there was something missing. You should have known by the tone of my voice, maybe, but you didn't listen. You played dead, but you never played. Instead you lay still in the grass, all coiled up in innocence. And though I know all about those men, still I don't remember. 'Cause it was us, baby, way before them, and we're still together. And I meant every word I said when I said that I love you. I meant that I love you forever. And I'm gonna keep on loving you, 'cause it's the only thing I wanna do.
Kind of romantic, that deck, isn't it? You done that for Sarah, didn't you?
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's lovely. I know you're getting like loads and loads of pressure, aren't you? And I don't want to talk about that anyway, but you kind of see all your other friends kind of getting engaged and pressure from your family. But
yeah, it's just a classic Irish thing. You come to expect it once you get to this age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your aunts and uncles, your mommy and daddy just sort of piling the pressure on to get married.
Yeah, well, there's no rush, is there?
Not at all.
But you're enjoying Sheffield at the moment then, yeah. So tell us a bit about kind of what Sheffield's been like for you or what it means.
Yeah, well, you know, moving from Chesterfield, where actually I was doing a lot of work at the time, doing a lot of studying. So, and Con, who I was living with, was going home a lot. Yeah. You know, I didn't really get out much in Chesterfield. So coming to Sheffield, you know, and getting a group of friends almost straight away was just completely different.
Yeah.
And I started to really like, you know, living in England.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I've kept most of that social group going forward, you know, and, you know, we do plenty of nights out, plenty of, you know, walks together, plenty of going for breakfast, you know, you're never without a friend, really.
That's amazing, really, isn't it? When you're away from home and coming where you come from, it's great. And Sheffield's beautiful for that, and it's welcomed all of us, really, to be in that environment. It is very, very good for that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so, no, the Vinnie's sort of set it all up for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you'll never be on your own, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But, so, I mean, well, in that group in there, because you're always doing, like, going to, like, comedy nights and everything, aren't you? And, yeah, so, and are they kind of a mixture? Still kind of a lot of, seems to be, like, quite a lot of Irish people that come over here, you'll kind of see a lot. Yeah,
yeah, so we were away there. We went a couple of weeks ago to Jim Owen, a few of us, and then a few of us actually went to Brussels as well. So Niall Walsh and Fran and Katie and Ed and myself and Sarah went over to Brussels for a weekend of sightseeing, beer, etc. That was all born through the Vinnies as well. So, you get away together.
But I suppose one of the dangers I'm worried about in our decade, like a worried Uncle Ben saying to you, is that when you are kind of isolated and you were getting your head down and doing all the work to get where you are as a surgeon, is there a kind of danger of just enjoying yourself too much? And
you forget why you're here sometimes. But no, I think I've got enough accountability, enough sort of sense to reel it back sometimes.
And
you get the head down whenever things need to be done. So
and you still do it. You still turn up for work, do surgery.
Oh yeah. I don't think my father would be too happy with me if I wasn't going to work.
Does he give you that work ethic?
Yeah. So you know, even was very much younger. You know, you'd never call in sick. People calling in sick for the most trivial reasons. So even if I was genuinely sick, I would take it off. But no, I try my best to get to work every single day.
And I suppose service still does that. And
of course it does.
Being a teacher and your work is something to do there. So well, I'm glad. I'll keep checking in. You're still doing your work and pushing through. Because I mean, I suppose it's like, so you're saying that's probably the next stage. You try and hopefully get a consultancy somewhere. Is that the plan?
Yeah. So the next stage is finish my training at the minute, and then apply for a consultant post. They're pretty hard to get. I suppose one of my aims is possibly getting a surgery set up in the north of Ireland, or a service over there. It makes sense, but there's a long way to go with that. But we'll keep plugging away in terms of trying to get a service over there.
Because you were saying there's really kind of shortage of the surgeon project.
There's two that I've mentioned before: Tim Kilmartin and Claire Keen, who work privately in the north. But there's no other podiatric surgeons there. Orthopaedic surgery do some of the work, and vascular surgery do some of the work, but you know, I think it's crying out for a podiatric surgery in the NHS.
Well, hopefully we'll do that. Well, we're going to play your last song, and then we might have a couple of minutes just to say goodbye and wrap up. But it's been absolutely brilliant. So, Deserted Island Diss, and your next song is Glory Days, and it's Bruce Springsteen. Just any reason?
So this is a big Vinnie's anthem for me and just any time we'd won anything, I would definitely make sure this is on the jukebox.
Okay, good stuff.
Make you love like a fool.
Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days. That's the choice of Decky Doherty, who's been my guest tonight. It's been a lovely hour. Thank you, Decky.
Yeah, no problem.
We're going to take a break from Deserted Island Disc for a couple of weeks. I've got to have a holiday. It has to happen. We're not back till the, I think it's the 7th of December, and we've got a guest lined up then, and all December. We've got some great guests, but we've got a few weeks off. So thanks, Decky, for doing the show tonight. It's been really, really good. So plans for the future for you?
Yeah, just keep plugging away at work and see if I can get a consultant post. but yeah, loving Sheffield, and thanks for the opportunity to come on, Ben.
No, it's been great. So it's been really good to see. So do you get back to Northern Ireland much at all?
I try to get over every few months, see family and stuff. So I was over there last weekend for my sister's wedding, sister Una, so we had a great time.
Oh, we didn't mention your siblings, did we? What have you got? You're the oldest, aren't
you? I'm the oldest, and I've got two sisters and one brother, so Niamh, Una and Oisin.
But you were saying that a couple of the girls have gone into medicine.
Yeah,
as well,
so Niamh and Una are both, well, Niamh is a GP and Una's training to be a GP, and Oisin's an accountant working with my father.
But is that kind of inspiration from...
My grandmother was a nurse, and she sent us all down the medical route, so...
It's got in there, so...
Yeah.
Well, good luck for the future. It's been absolutely fantastic, and... we'll see you all again back in December for more Deserted Island Discs.